Blog Talk Radio.
Former Blackhawk, local guy, and the current color analyst for the Blackhawks on television, it is Eddie Olczyk.
The guy's an asshole.
Dead air moments. I feel.
Paid out the rectum.
Well, first of all, we're very, very happy with Dennis Savard as our head coach. He's growing.
What the fuck does that mean?
He's fat!
I don't know how long you guys got, but I'll sit here till 4 in the morning and explain to you why James Wisniewski sucks.
You're never surprised by anything.
I'm not cutting it anymore. I'm old news, and my new show sucks. Hi, I'm Chris Block. Nice to meet you.
He's got sponsors, man. Ain't that some shit? He's got a pizza place and a massage parlor. Either that or he's in the mafia, and the mafia is all about pizzerias and massage parlors. We'll see if his next sponsor is a waste management company.
I'm at the United Center 42 times this year. My picture's on it's on the website. It's in the Committed Indian. You could go. I'll make you my Facebook friend. Come find me, pal.
This is the type of show you get when you know the Blackhawks aren't doing anything stupid in the off season.
Let me hear you say absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, don't okay.
Jeez, I'm an idiot.
Bunch of fucks.
Hey, look, those guys got better sperm than any of us got.
We're men, okay? That means a few things. We like to shit with the door open. We talk about pussy. We go on riverboat gambling trips. We make our own beef jerky. That's what we do.
All right, Third Man in Radio here on this Monday night. We're just skipping all over the place. Name a day and we're going to pop up eventually. Superstar alongside here on this Monday night, January the 18th. Somebody told me today it was Martin Luther King Day. How you doing, Superstar?
I am well, and yourself?
It's such a great day today. But actually, you know, I'll tell you about it. First of all, I have not slept since I don't even know when. But they got off to a rock start. I take the public transportation, right?
Of course.
Yeah. I should just walk. I mean, it would take me an awful long time to walk to work, but I really don't like public transportation. I don't feel really good about it. But I take it every day. And today, I had a bad experience with it. I was running late, as I tend to do normally. And I get to the bus, and, you know, I get on the bus, and the bus goes two blocks, and then the bus breaks down. I shit you not. So we got to get off the bus, and we got to wait for the next bus. And I go to my BlackBerry, and I go to whatever it is, Transit Chicago, CTA, whatever.com. And I look, and there's no bus for like 15 minutes. So, you know, we wait, you know, the bus comes. and it takes us to the train, and we get on the train. I get on the train, and this is when I sort of figure out something was going on, like it was an awkward Monday, maybe it's like a bank holiday or something, because there's like nobody on a train. It's like 9 o'clock, there's nobody on the train. But, I mean, the people that are, I get on the train, I'm on the train with an Iranian, a blind guy, and a midget. This is, and me. This is a
this sounds like your Friday night.
We're not going to get into my Friday night. But that's the four people that are in the car. An Iranian, a blind guy, a midget, and Block, right? This is what it was. So I long story short, I sat there. This is the kind of person I am. I sat there on the train. I mean, other people came and, you know, came and went on, you know. But I sat there on the train for 25 minutes, and I played the, like, you know, because you got to do something on the train. And I played this game, not a game, but, like, I had, like, this thought in my head of, like, okay, which would I least want to be? The Iranian, the blind guy, or the midget? And,
You decided on yourself.
Well, no, I was excluded from the contest, of course. But I chose the midget.
So you'd rather be blind than a midget.
I felt so bad for the blind guy too, because like it was funny too. I shouldn't say this, but I laughed because the guy. Well, first of all, he wasn't wearing glasses, and it was somewhat disturbing because he had there was something really wrong with his eyes, but he wasn't wearing glasses, and he was struggling. He was on the phone, and he was doing the thing with the thing, and he's dialing, and but he's on the train, so he's dropping the call, and he's got to try it over again, and then he finally gets on the phone with somebody, but he can't hear, so he's got to hang up, and he's got to try it all over again when we come up from under the subway. I mean, it felt bad for the guy. I mean, God bless the guy, period. But, I mean, I don't know. I couldn't live like that. But I laughed because he had, like, a skull cap on. And he took it off, and he scratched his head. And then he went to go put the skull cap back on, and he put it on, and he pulled it down, like, below his eyes. And then he adjusted it to pull it back above his eyes. And I wondered to myself, like, why the fuck did he do that? Like, I mean, what difference does it make? But that was just me. How was your day today?
It was a lot less eventful than yours, obviously. I too did notice the lack of a lot of people today, which my 2-block commute I didn't really mind, but whatever. But, you know, I'm like you. I don't really like people, anyways.
It was a weird day today because, you know, you get to work, and like the office building, you immediately sense it when you walk in. Like there's nobody there. I mean, the building is like 3/4 empty, which is really weird to me. I mean, Martin Luther King, I mean, obviously a great, great man and you know, whatever history. But, how do you celebrate? It's sort of like backwards logic. Like, how do you celebrate, like, this forward-thinking activist, pursuit of the greater good, you know, human being and figure in American history? You give everybody the day off to sit at home and fucking do nothing. Like, you know, how do we, as hockey fans, celebrate, you know, Martin Luther King Day, afternoon hockey? Like, isn't that like the perfect way to celebrate Martin Luther King Day? You know, a bunch of rich white kids skating on ice. I mean, it kind of doesn't make sense, doesn't it?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah. There's a Dustin Bufflin joke in there somewhere, but I'm going to pass.
No, we're not doing the Dustin Bufflin. So, happy Martin Luther King Day, and again, he's a great, great man, and I've got to make up for that poor choice of words I used last week. I really gotta watch what I say on the show. But I'm sure I'll abandon that logic pretty soon. A lot to talk about on the show tonight. I don't know. I did a rundown and I put it up on the website about 4:30 this morning. I'm gonna go print it because I don't remember anything that I wrote. So maybe you could guide us through the show tonight.
Well, I'm going to guide us through the show. I mean, that is your job. But, I mean, I do have the list of topics that we kind of need to hit on throughout this journey of ours tonight.
Then I'm going to call in, and I'm going to do my best. And last week, a couple of people called in during the show, and I was shocked because I didn't think anybody was going to be listening live, or very few. And the percentage of people that do listen live that actually do dial the number is so very, very low. So I didn't even pay attention, but I did notice after the show that at least two people, well, I think just two people called in, and I wasn't paying any attention. So I will try to pay attention tonight. The number to call in is 347-857-3781, 347-857-3781. What a game yesterday.
It was. It was a great game. I don't think the Hawks played very well.
Really,
it was a hell of a game to watch.
I thought they played really well. I mean, it's just a great game. I mean, you know, that ebb and flow, you know, kind of momentum going one way and then it turns against you. I mean, just the tides that shifted during the game, and it was a great flow. I mean, there was never a point in the game where the action, you know, sort of lagged off or anything like that. It was just a great hockey game to experience and I don't know. I just thought that of all the games that I've seen this year, both live and on television, I can't imagine that there was a better game. And we've seen some really good games this year, Detroit came out with purpose yesterday. You had to expect after Saturday afternoon in Dallas getting screwed on, and we should talk about that a little bit later on, that shootout goal, Steve Ott, the NHL completely screwing up on that call, and no good explanation of why they deemed that Steve Ott's shootout chance was ruled a goal when it was, I mean, there was no evidence that it was, and the referee on the goal line, standing 3 feet from the puck, called it no goal, and somehow the guy 30 feet out high overruled him. I mean, but anyway, you had to know that the Red Wings were going to come out with purpose, anger, and I mean, they're getting healthy now too, and the Blackhawks, and you can sort of sense it in the building too. I mean, the Red Wing fans are rejuvenated by the Blackhawks resurgence. I think they're enjoying it too in a way, just because it's fun for the Red Wings fans now to have a rival. And the Blackhawks, at this point of the season, have surpassed them. I mean, the Blackhawks are the better team, just because they're healthy, they're young, they're fresh, they're just going out there playing. I mean, they have no worries. They've got a ton of momentum. And in a lot of ways, they feel like no matter what happens, that things are going to go well for them. They have that confidence, that swagger about them right now that the Red Wings don't have. But I mean, you could sense it, that the Red Wings were fighting that yesterday, and they had something to prove, and they played. I thought they played really well, and I don't know. I just thought it was a terrific game, and I mean, it was kind of a circus shootout, you know, but. I'm sure it was good television.
It was. And you know, I've talked to a lot of people today about the, I guess you could say, both of the Red Wings goals, the Zetterberg and the Bertuzzi goal in the shootout. And, of course, it's one of those things that, you know, since those goals were against us, it was a Bush League goals. But I posed a question. I go, you know, if Taves and Kane pull those two moves out, it's the greatest moves you've ever seen.
Well, of course. You know, That's a local sports fan. It's not just Hawks fans. I mean, we could pick on Hawks fans if we want, and I don't mind doing it. But that's the life of a sports fan. I mean, that's protocol. You'll defend your team till they're dead, and they can do no wrong. I mean, that's neither here nor there. But yeah, I mean, if you're looking at it objectively, they didn't break the rules. You could say that the Bertuzzi goal was sort of towing the line of forward progress, I guess. But it was all one motion, and what they don't want is guys coming to a complete stop and then shooting the puck. Or coming to a stop and then turning. I mean, it was one fluid motion. So it wasn't against the rules or anything. And I mean, you'd rather see those two teams, deal with it, even if it's just 4-on-4. Because that game could have went on for another hour and it would have been great. Still a great game and excellent TV, I'm sure. I saw a little bit of it. Jeremy Roenick, we have to get your reaction to this. I only saw one Jeremy Roenick segment. Jeremy Roenick making his debut in the channeling Don Cherry a little bit. JR doing his thing. Kind of taking over for Brett Hull had that position before, but now JR is going to try it. What do you think of JR's debut on NBC?
You know, I to be real honest, like I only caught, I believe it was a little bit of the first between the first and second period.
That's the one I saw.
I didn't even catch the whole thing, but. I thought it was great. You mentioned Don Cherry, him giving Pierre McGuire the business about the whole U.S.-Canadian Olympics. And I think he had a great point when he said, look, the Olympics are in Vancouver. The Canadians are stacked. All the pressure is on that team.
Yeah. It's true. JR's doing well. First of all, my thought of what I saw. I mean, I tried to watch some of it last night, but he just seemed really, really hyper, and hopefully he'll settle down. And I don't know. We'll give JR some time, but he seemed really, really hyper yesterday, and I guess that's understandable. But he's done television before. He did work in the playoffs a couple of years ago for TSN. And so, I don't know. We'll wait and see on JR. And I didn't see the second intermission, but it was okay for what it was. And I don't know. It's great to see JR and in that kind of forum. And I'm sure that he'll be a big part of the Olympics and that coverage as well.
On his birthday as well.
JR's 40th birthday yesterday. and too bad it was in Detroit. I'm sure JR got the hell out of there. As did I. I don't know. I did want to bring something up because since I was in St. Louis back on January 2nd as well, I got to say, I was surprised. I didn't think that there was, and this kind of goes back to what I was saying before about the Red Wings fans sort of being rejuvenated, and I think in a way excited about the Blackhawks and the fact that the Blackhawks are good again. I really do believe in a small way they're happy for the Blackhawks, maybe not happy for the Blackhawks, but happy that the Blackhawks are, maybe not as good as they are, but that they're competitive, and the Red Wings actually have someone in the Central that's not just annoying during the regular season that they're going to see in the playoffs potentially. And this year, the Red Wings, obviously, because of all the injuries and some of the players that they lost, are in line to play a spoiler role. I mean, if the playoffs would have started today, the Red Wings wouldn't have been even in the postseason. Just 1 point out behind L.A. in that eighth spot. But, you know, they're right on the doorstep there. And, you know, we talked about it before, the potential for a first-round matchup between the Red Wings and the Blackhawks is right there. The Red Wings, you know, they're getting healthy. They'll get Jason Williams back, in a little while here. Johan Franzen will come back right after the Olympics. And, you know, Holmstrom comes back in a couple of weeks. So, I mean, they're getting healthy. The one thing that I will take away from yesterday is I think that it's time that the Red Wings put a little bit more emphasis on speed and get Darren Helm more ice time, Abdelkader more ice time, and take as good as Chris Draper and Kirk Maltby have been, and they're still decent players. The Red Wings, in order to compete with the Blackhawks, Darren Helm specifically has to be on the ice as much as possible. Darren Helm played a really good game yesterday. And, you know, I mean, several times he appeared to be the fastest guy on the ice, and that includes Duncan Keith. And I don't know. I just think that if the Red Wings plan on, you know, if they do play the Blackhawks in the first round, they're going to have to bring young legs, and those guys have got to play more minutes and more important minutes than Draper and Maltby, just because you have to be able to skate with the Blackhawks for 60 minutes. And, I mean, relying on Draper and Maltby and some of those guys, you're just not going to be able to do it.
Yeah, well, it's kind of a changing of the guard, and, you know, you have those guys who've been in Detroit for a while. I know on the broadcast mentioned the four Stanley Cups that a couple of guys had a couple of times. You know, I'm not sure on a lot of their ages, but, yeah, I mean, you have some, you know, the young guns on the Hawks, and it's kind of the turning of the tide. And will those guys be able to skate with the Hawks for 60 minutes or not? The Hawks are obviously very capable of skating 60 minutes and putting up goals at a staggering rate. I think it was they probably averaged, what, 4 to 6 over the last 2 weeks. You know, so, yeah, you're gonna need those, like you said, the young legs to skate with them.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, they skated with him yesterday. But you know, what we're really talking about is, you know, a 7-game series, and you know, I mean, the Red Wings capitalized on some very good chances yesterday and made them count. And the Blackhawks, that game could have, honestly, that game could have went either way, 5-3, 5-2, if it weren't for some really good goaltending on both sides. Antti Niemi did play very well yesterday. The Patrick Eves goal, from how I saw it, was, I mean, just an awful goal. But I don't know, how did that look on the broadcast?
I don't think it looked as awful as what it may have seemed, depending on your perspective in the ring. It wasn't a great goal, but It wasn't awful. He probably should have stopped it, but it's you know, can't do anything about it now. But there's definitely been worse goals given up, even this year, than that one.
Yeah.
So the other thing you wanted to talk about with the game yesterday was Marian Hossa.
Marian Hossa looked like, I mean, look. I mean, first of all, I don't know, like how many energy drinks. Let's just say that, like, how many energy drinks or how many cups of coffee Marian Hossa had before the game, but he was all over the place and not in a good way. I mean, just over pursuing on the first Detroit goal. You know, Hossa was just way out of position. And that's how Nicklas Lidström snuck behind and got down low and and scored his goal. I guess it's understandable that he would go and be really excited about playing in Detroit, but he was already there. So it's not like it was his first trip back, but he seemed intent on having a good performance, but he got a little outside of himself, I thought, yesterday, and didn't play very well. The other thing with his game was, and this has been going on for a couple of weeks now, he is not getting any air underneath his shot. And I don't know what that is, if there's some sort of, you know, minor injury, if it's a, you know, it's, he's got, you know, he's trying out new sticks. I don't know what the deal is, but Marian Osa is not getting anything underneath the puck. And, you know, that's, I mean, everything's along the ice. He doesn't really get anything above the knees, and that's just not like Marian Osa.
Well, you just hope it's not a major injury or something with the shoulder.
No. I mean, he missed the game. I mean, you and I, you know, played hockey. I mean, that could be something in the groin or, you know, in the hip. It could be, you know, on his plant foot or something. I mean, it could be anything, really. But I don't think it's anything serious, because if it was serious, they'd hold him out. They're good enough right now, and they're healthy enough right now that they don't have to push it with Marian Osa. So I don't think it's anything serious, but it's just an observation that's been more than a game or two now that I've noticed that he's had that issue.
You mentioned Niemi, you know, how well he played yesterday. What do you think of him as an overall? I read a couple things today on him and how he's going to have to carry a bigger load, and how Hawk fans feel more confident with him in there, not as just maybe a guy that they figured was going to be a backup player, and but they actually feel more confident with him in the net than Huey.
Well, you know, that's, again, we talked about this so many times. That's the Chicago mentality, that whatever is in second place is better. You know, whoever the backup is, you know, you take, and again, Niemi's play in his role and on the team in the backup role has played terrific. But, you know, be careful what you ask for. I mean, this is a guy that, I mean, if you go back to the preseason and you remember those games, he did not stand that far ahead of Corey Crawford. You know, we mentioned it last week, that really the only reason why Niemi won the job in the preseason was because the Blackhawks took a skeleton crew to Washington. Washington played its guys on home ice. The Capitals played all, you know, in the preseason, that's what happens. The teams play in front of their home fans. They play the Stars, and if it's just an overnight trip, the visiting team just sends a skeleton crew. Well, Corey Crawford played behind the Rockford Ice Hogs, you know, when they played the Washington Capitals in Washington, and Corey Crawford got lit up. If Antti Niemi would have started that game, Corey Crawford would have more than likely would have started the season with the Blackhawks, but he didn't. You know, but that being said, I mean, he's played well, but I mean, it's different in just spot starting a guy. And when the team knows that, oh, it's the backup in there tonight, let's hunker down a bit. Or, you know, maybe you don't try certain things that you would try with your number one. I think the interesting dynamic, and the reason why I have a lot of problems with the way that Joel Quenneville's handling the situation, he's feeding this frenzy that is, you know, sort of this idea that Niemi's decidedly the better guy. I mean, Cristobal Huey's got the third best goals against in the league. I mean, he's not doing bad, and he started off bad. So, I mean, he's played very, very well. He's had his moments, but Cristobal Huey has his moments. But he also has amazing moments. Game 5 in Detroit last year, one of those moments. I mean, that's one of the best you know, there haven't been many playoff performances lately, but one of the best goaltending performances by a Blackhawk goaltender in the playoffs in many, many, many years. It was a terrific, you know, display. So he's capable of it both ways. But Joe Quenneville, going back, I don't understand his reasoning and the way he's handled this, because he's sitting QA against very good teams and playing Miami. But you do know that QA, and Quenneville believes it, is that QA is his number one goalie. So at some point, QA is going to, because he's not, it's not like he's played his way out of the job, you know, not at all. Niemi's just earned more time. That's all that's happened here. So I don't, if there's no reason why Niemi has to split time with QA. Niemi's a young guy, and his time will come. QA, he gets paid a lot of money, and he is your number one goaltender. He's got the experience, and unless he gets hurt and you're forced to play Niemi and you're forced to see what he does playing 4 out of 5 nights, 3 out of every 4, again, that's what a number one goalie does, and Niemi hasn't done that yet. So, you know, hypothetically speaking, and you know, sort of projecting what Antti Niemi is, you don't know. No one knows how he's going to hold up in that role of being the guy who every night is in there. He's not sitting on the bench resting 2 or 3 nights a week. He's out there every night doing it. It's a different dynamic. You know, and I've never been a goaltender, but you know, if you listen to former NHL goaltenders talk, they will tell you that. It's completely different being the guy as opposed to just being the guy that goes in once a week. And, I mean, the attitude of the team is different. Everything is different when you're the backup. When you're the guy, no one feels sorry for you. No one's, you know, giving you an extra pat on the back. You're supposed to stop everything when you're the guy. And Niemi, he hasn't been in that role, so we don't know how he's going to react. And, again, he's not even a year removed from being a guy that couldn't win the starting job in Rockford from Corey Crawford. So we don't really know what his mental state is when he's going to be put in that position. Be careful what you ask for. Why not just allow Niemi, if he's going to be a really good goalie, and what we've seen up to this point is suggest that he may be a very good goalie. He may be the Blackhawks' next number one goalie. But that doesn't mean he has to be the next number one goalie tomorrow. You know, in the next night. Let it gradually take its course. So, you don't want to ruin the guy. I mean, it's the last thing you want to do. You know, I mean, it's a bad comparison, but I don't know. Cade McNown or something like that. That's probably a bad comparison. But, you don't, too much too soon is a bad thing, especially a lot of goaltenders it is. Just spot him, let him get his confidence. You know, he's out there just playing, and he's got to worry about playing one game a week, playing, you know, putting up his best effort on those nights, and have him get through a season, sit on the bench in the playoffs, and you know, watch it all develop and happen, gain that experience, and then maybe next year he is your guy. I doubt it, but or you know, if not next year, probably the year after, or the year after that. I mean, it's. Just let it naturally take its course, because if Blackhawks fans got their wish, some of them anyway, and put Niemi in the net, and the logic that you buy out QA tomorrow, or you trade him, or you ditch him and put him in Rockford or something, which is all just stupid, just stupidity. That's it. I mean, it's Antti Niemi or bust. And again, be careful what you ask for, because you have nothing to go on there. You have nothing, you have no evidence that says this guy can do it. You know, 3 out of every 4 games. There's nothing there.
Well put.
Speaking of well put, we got an email that I want to get to. Let me see. Where did I put it? We have someone who listened to last week's show. And again, I'm amazed by this. Listenership last week is off the charts. Again, we were on the air last Wednesday. Was it Wednesday or Thursday?
Thursday, I thought.
Whatever. We were on the air. And,
last week.
Yeah, we were on the air. And, I mean, it did really well again. And, I thank everybody for listening, and one day we'll get it right. Just not, probably not today. Oh, speaking of which, I should probably do this. Okay. Things are happening here. Show announcement. Starting next week on the show, for the next couple of weeks on the show, on this show, we will be running a contest. I don't know what the contest is going to be. I don't know how I'm going to do this. But we're going to be giving away copies of Theo Fleury's book, Playing with Fire. How about that, Superstar?
That's good stuff right there.
That's good stuff. Playing with Fire, starting next week. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to do it. We're going to give away copies of Playing with Fire, and that should be lots of fun. So it'll be, I guess it'll be the first real listener contest giveaway thingy deal on the Third Man in Radio. 27 shows in. Actually, it's been more than 27 shows, but there's been that odd show where Block just has a hissy fit and deletes the thing before anybody can listen to it. So I don't know how many shows there's really been, maybe like 40. Not really. That's only happened twice. And it's when, or,
I do love the professionalism of the first giveaway thingy.
Well, I mean, what else are you going to call it? I don't know what to call it. We're going to give away books.
We're going to give away thingies.
Yeah, thingy. Yeah.
And then we're going to Superdoll.
Yeah, and then after that, so we'll see how this contest goes, and then we'll decide whether or not we're going to do that that much-anticipated take the listeners to Superdog contest.
I'm down for the Superdog.
I am too. I might go to Superdog tonight. And also, for those that don't know or you missed this or whatever, Theo Fleury, the actual guy, Theo Fleury, former Calgary Flame, New York Ranger, Colorado Avalanche, Chicago Blackhawk, he's going to be in Chicago on Friday. Did you hear about this superstar?
Briefly.
Yes, he's going to be at Borders at State and Randolph, kind of across the street from the Chicago Theater, 150 North State Street, 12:30. In the afternoon this Friday, January 22nd, to meet and greet and sign copies of his book, Playing with Fire. So, unfortunately, I actually do the books they're sort of in my possession. They're at my other office, and I didn't get a chance to go to the office today. So, otherwise, I don't know. I guess I could give one away tonight, but I'm not going to. Because I would never get to the post office anyway to mail it, so you'd have it, and you could bring it and say, hey, I want it on the Third Man In radio. Like Theo would care. And I should also say that in one forum or another, and I'm hoping it's going to be on this show, I'm going to have a chance to talk to Theo and do a story on him, and hopefully, like I said, hopefully we'll be able to do it here in the next couple of weeks, but... stay tuned for more news on that.
That would be an interesting show.
It would be an interesting show. I would love to speak at length especially on here with Theo. Lots of stuff to talk about. His book, by the way, and I just don't want to gloss over it. I mean, his book, Playing with Fire, and I wrote about it quite a ways back, but it's just fantastic. I mean, and not fantastic in a sense of not everything that you're going to read in there is, is jolly or fun. It's quite a ride that Theo went on in his career and in his life. But it's an excellent read. It's something that you won't put down easily. And I recommend it to any hockey fan. And even if you're not a hockey fan, any sports fan, I think, would find it fascinating. And again, it's a quick read. Not necessarily that it's a short book or anything like that, but it's just something that I found very hard to put down. And I recommend it to everyone. Oh, okay. What was I going to talk? Oh,
email.
You know, I never.
I'm not doing my job keeping you on point tonight.
Yeah, because I am about to fall asleep. You know what I'm going to do after the show's over? I'm not getting in the car. I'm not going anywhere because I'm going to go. And I'm going to make myself some eggs, and I'm going to sit down on the couch. I'm going to fall asleep, and I'm going to wake up 3 hours later, and the house is going to be on fire. That's my plan for the rest of the night.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you making eggs, or are you just going to burn them and go take a nap?
Well, I mean, if recent history has taught us anything, I probably will not be eating the eggs tonight. I will cook them, but I don't know that they'll be edible. I don't know what it is. I honestly can cook a lot of stuff. I honestly can. I'm a good cook. I used to cook for my ex all the time, and she really liked it, and all she could really make for me was, like, pasta and bacon buddies. But, I mean, I'm a man with a spoon and a pot.
And what the hell's a bacon buddy? Because I'm hungry now.
It's basically bread with bacon and butter.
But it's like a BLT. It's like a BLT without the L and the T. I was concentrating on the bacon too much, and you know, that whole alphabet thing can trip the superstar up every once in a while.
You sound like a gay.
Oh, and that's a good drop to play, because this letter is rich. And I was about to say, we get some interesting characters that write into the show or write to me. And I don't read them all because, I mean, really, you know, I mean, I get some great email, and I've said many times that because of the way that the website used to be when it was active and when I used to write and all that kind of fun stuff, and we'll talk about that a little bit later too. But we didn't have anything. I mean, you know, we didn't have a comment section or forum or anything like that. We have that stuff now, but again, since I don't write, nobody comes to the website but to listen to the show. Because I was that, you know, I had that format for so long, the only way people could really interact with me was to actually, you know, open up their email, write something, hit the send button. And so I've actually got a pretty good dialogue going with the readers and the listeners, and it's really, really cool, and I try my best to keep up with it. But occasionally one of these kind of things comes in. Are you ready?
Can't wait.
I mean, for long-time listeners of the show, I don't know that I'll let you decide if this is email from a dope. I don't want to characterize without maybe getting opinions from the group. All right, here we go, and this is from Unsigned and Anonymous.
Yes.
Oh. Here we go. Dear loser minus talent wannabe radio host.
Yes, I like this guy already.
I think he's talking about you.
Very, very possible.
Or maybe like the guy that emailed in last week, and he's actually writing into the Puckcast, and he got his emails crossed up. Got to talk about those guys. Anyway, we'll talk about them later. All right, here we go again with email. Just when I thought the coast was clear and air was clean and ridden of this tasteless, pointless, sad excuse for an internet hockey podcast.
Huh. Has he ever listened to our show before last week?
I don't know. I don't think we're any of those things. All right. Sad excuse for an internet hockey podcast. Chris Block and his two fairy frolicking, actually it's spelled frolicking, sidekicks backed your way, wait, great sentence structure, into my iPod once again. Sorry to hear that. For the record, after listening to over an hour of pointless drivel, see, he wasn't listening to this show. I listened to last week's show. I thought it was really good. I thought it was a good show. For being off for 2 weeks and kind of rusty, I thought it was decent. Did you listen to the show?
No, I didn't.
Of course not.
That's awesome.
Oh, I once and for all deleted this crap from my iPod mini and regret ever having subscribed to it in the first place. I don't blame you. Thursday, quote, Mr. Know-It-All, end quote. Who could he be talking about there? Mr. Know-It-All gave his listeners these such wonderfully astounding nuggets of wisdom, colon. There we go. I didn't realize scratch. I did say this. This is good. I didn't realize scratching and winning a $2 prize on a $2 lottery ticket was, quote, essentially like a refund, end quote. I did say that. I caught that one. When I listened back, I heard that and I was like, God, that wasn't too smart. Yeah, so you got me there. But here's where he gets kind of out of hand. I don't even know how I should read this, but this is the kind of stuff that comes into my email box. So I guess if you're at work, you probably want to turn the radio down a bit. Way to go, fag. See, that's just not necessary. I guess he's asking me a question here, but there is no question mark. You still carry a second grade math workbook around with you. This is another example that he's taking from the show. I said this too. He's got some good points. He can't write, but he's got some good points. Or how about if the Hawks wanted to convince Don Waddell and the Atlanta Thrashers to trade them Ilya Kovalchuk, the Hawks would, quote, this is me again. I did say this too. Have to present a package better than anyone else, end quote. All right, here's the paper again. Geez, Chris Block really is a genius. I got news for you. You're a loser. I didn't know that. What do you think of this guy so far, Superstar?
He's an asshole.
I can't wait until Stan Bowman trades for Kovalchuk, spelled differently again, still not the right way, to hear what you have to say then. But you probably claim you knew it all along, or it's the beginning of the end of the team like you always do. LOL. I'm guessing that's laughing out loud. You're a loser. We got you the first time, pal. Choke on a dick, you queer. Oh, well, that's nice. We all know it wasn't a chick's vagina you ate, and he didn't spell that right either. Hoser rules.
Your vagina.
Yeah. I mean, you would expect a guy to know how to spell that. I mean, for as much of issues this guy has with homosexuality, you would think he would know how to spell vagina correctly. Hoser rules. Fuck Marty Havlett, and fuck you and this awful show. At least go back to writing so we don't have to listen to your queer voice. Unsigned.
That was rich and enlightening, needless to say. Well,
somebody just emailed in to say that was that email was from Eddie Olczyk. I don't think it was from Eddie Olczyk, but somebody just emailed in to say that was from Eddie Olczyk. We can neither confirm nor deny. Actually, I confirm by the email. I can confirm that it probably was not.
Yeah, there's no way Eddie Olczyk would misspell vagina.
Stop it right there. V-A. That's what he got. He called it. It was V-I. That's how he spelled it.
Yeah.
I did want to talk about, because this came up the other day in a conversation I was having with somebody. We were talking about Blackhawks and it's kind of weird, and we kind of touched on this before, Superstar, about how Blackhawks fans would, if it was Taves or Kane that pulled the moves that Bertuzzi and Datsyuk did in the shootout last night, it wouldn't have been queer, let's say. It would have been, spectacular, and how awesome would they have been, and that's just fans being fans. But I also think that, like, in the case of Marty Havlat, here's a guy who undoubtedly got off to a poor start this year in Minnesota for many different reasons. It's a new environment. He's actually making less money this year than he was last, but it's longer term anyway. He's coming in, to a situation in Minnesota where, there's a lot of pressure on him to sort of, help take the team to the next level. He comes in, he's not even playing on the first line. I mean, here is Marty Havlat again, put in a situation where he's got, he's asked to elevate, above average players and have, bring their games to another level. I mean, that's what he was asked to do last year with Dave Boland. And Andrew Ladd, and he's been in that position this year predominantly on the second line. Marty Havlat's center for about a month was Andrew Ebbett. The Andrew Ebbett that couldn't crack the lineup in Chicago and was being sent to Rockford when he didn't pass through waivers and Minnesota picked him up. That was Marty Havlat's center for about a month. Now he's with Kyle Brodziak and Yam Latendresse, who the Wild got from Montreal, and Latendresse is having an amazing stint right now since being traded. It's just one of those things where you put the player in a different environment, and the light goes on. But watching a decent amount of Minnesota Wild games, Havlat has a lot to do with that, and that they have, those two have a little bit of chemistry, and Marty, who started the season, the first 24 games he played. Because again, he had a little bit of trouble with the groin, but the first 24 games he played, he only had two goals, two goals and nine assists in 24 games. But since then, since playing at Calgary on December 11th, Havlat has 21 points in 19 games. He's still, six goals. They want him to score a few more goals, but when Latendresse is doing all the goal scoring, it's okay for right now. Marty Havlat could find his range. He is shooting a good deal. He's getting a lot of shots on net and to the net, but right now Latendresse is doing the scoring, so it's not that big of an issue. But
104 shots on goal.
Yeah, like I said, he's getting his chances. Havlat will score eventually. My point is that here was a guy. One of the things that I've heard, and not from everybody, and I don't want to paint with a broad brush, but this opinion is out there. It's like, and it's easy to hate on Marty Havlat or sort of push him aside as, like yesterday's news when you got Marian Hossa. This is something new for Blackhawks fan. Again, after years and decades of a player leaving town and replacing a very good player or a great player or a borderline great player with an average player that you asked, to play over his head to meet unrealistic expectations. The Blackhawks went out and got a slight upgrade in Marian Hossa. But, it doesn't mean that you have to, you know, hate on Marian Hossa. I mean, there's a great deal of fans that have gone all Pontius Pilate on Jesus Havlat Christ from last year. It's like, you know, here's this guy that you worshipped, and it's one of the things that I have a problem with fandom and fanatics as they are. It's that, you know, fans will tell you. I mean, there's no bigger hypocrite than a sports fanatic, because fans will tell you that they want to believe that the athlete cares about the city, cares about the team, and wants to play for, let's just say in this instance, the Indian Head, takes pride in the Indian Head, is committed to the Indians, so to speak. They want to believe that. They want to have that sort of belief that, you know, that player takes pride in the city and the organization and in being a part of the team. And in Marty Havlat, you had that. And, I mean, he showed it, I mean, with an exclamation point in the wrong way, but he showed it, you know, when the Blackhawks turned their back on him in the offseason, which is another story, but they turned their backs on him in the offseason, strung him along in free agency, or as free agency approached, and then the second, you know, unrestricted free agency kicked off, they shut the door on Marty, they said, see you later, and Marian Hossa is our new girl now, and they signed him to a huge contract, and all of a sudden, Marty Havlat's yesterday's news, and Marian Hossa is a Blackhawk. I'm not saying it wasn't the right move, when you're talking about that kind of money and security, and no, you know, having peace of mind that, you know, that your investment's going to pay off, because, you know, again, we don't have to get into it, but side by side, just the health factor alone, you're going to pick Marian Hossa over Marty Havlat 9 times out of 10, just on the information that you have, all the cards on deck that you have. But to sort of ridicule Marty Havlat for being disappointed that the Blackhawks didn't re-sign him, or, you know, I don't think he was whining as much as he was a little bit hurt that he wanted to be a Blackhawk, that he wanted to stay here, that he cared about this team and he wanted to be a part of it. And, yeah, I mean, that emotion poured out in a way that maybe if he had to do it all over again, he wouldn't have done it. But you witnessed it. You got to see that here it was. It's a rarity that an athlete really cared about being in a city, being in a place, playing for a team, playing for an organization and a fandom. And here it was, right in front of you, everything that you've ever asked for as a fan. And, you know, now he's yesterday's news, and there are people, not everybody, but there are people that, you know, are slinging mud at Marty Havlat or, you know, sort of snickering at his slow start and being on the Minnesota Wild and them not being very good and unfairly comparing Marian Hossa, who gets to skate, you know, with Patrick Sharp and Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews and Brian Campbell and Duncan Keith. I mean, put the Chicago Blackhawks roster up against the Minnesota Wild roster, and I mean, it's ridiculous to compare the two. Marty Havlat is back in the situation that he was in 2006-07 with the Blackhawks. He's a man on an island. He's got Mikko Koivu there. He doesn't skate with him ever. You know, I mean, that's that Finnish Czech rivalry, maybe, I don't know, but they very rarely skate together, and you know he's in that position on the second line where he's being asked to make everybody better. But you know, I mean, it's just the thing that I hate. This is the other thing, Marty Havlat showed more courage than most professional athletes, you know, ever show by coming out and playing in Game 4 against the Red Wings last year. It may have been more courage than brains because, I mean, you know, again, Nicholas Cronwall in Game 3 destroys Marty Havlat. And the next game, Havlat comes out and skates, and, you know, he's a month away from unrestricted free agency. I mean, think of all that he risked, you know, just – I mean, he did it for the team, you know, his, you know, being a part of something that, that he, you know, he desperately, he cared about, and he wanted to be a part of something great and all of that. And I think that for the fans to sort of turn their back on him just because he's, you know, I mean, I think it's petty. And, but I mean, that's what fans are. They're hypocritical and it's just ridiculous.
Then deserve better, man.
But yeah, that's that. I want to talk about a little bit about the Rockford IceHogs. Now, caught a couple of their games over the weekend through the magic of video on demand. Jake Dowell. I want to talk about a little bit about Jake Dowell. Jake Dowell is a guy who Blackhawks fans sort of. Kind of have already counted in and penciled in on the fourth line next year, you know, or a guy that is going to be counted on to come up as a low salary guy and contribute next year. And you know, in the spots that he's been up, you know, specifically last year, not this year, the spots that he has come up, he's played well, you know, for the role that he plays. There's nothing wrong with, you know, his performances here. Excuse me. Green tea. It's good for you, but whoa. I mean, he's played well, but you know, this season he got off to a horrible start. Jake Dowell in his first 35 games scored but one goal. He had 10 assists in those 35 games, but one goal in 35 games is hardly getting it done. And Since New Year's Eve, he's turned it around and he's played really well. Both games I saw this past weekend, he played very, very well. Evan Brophy's another guy who's struggled a lot this season. Actually, he didn't score in the game that I saw, but he scored in the game I didn't see. But he's another guy who's picking it up a little bit lately. That's good to see. But Jake Dowell's a guy, and his four goals this year, he's had three in his last 10 games. And his last two goals have been game-winning goals. One in overtime back on January 6th at the Metro Center in a 4-3 win over Toronto. And then yesterday in Grand Rapids, a third-period goal to give Rockford the 4-3 victory. But it's good to see. But, I mean, a guy like Jake Dowell and Rob Klinkhammer, these are two guys that, again, the Blackhawks fans that don't really pay attention to Rockford sort of, you know, unknowingly have just counted, you know, that they're going to be there next year. Those are two guys that must have strong finishes to this season, must have really good finishes in order to for Blackhawks brass to be looking for them, you know, as possibilities to fill those positions.
Yeah, you know, and I think the difference is what you're going to have left is at the end of the year, regardless of what the Hawks do. If they win the Stanley Cup, they go out in the first round. You really got to start looking at what you're going to have coming up through the system. And the salary cap, we've talked about it 100 times, is going to play a big part in that.
Well, yeah, you know, the fact of the matter is the Blackhawks are going to have to rely on players like, I mean, they've got to cross their fingers and hope that Kyle Beach is ready and shows up in training camp and skates with a purpose, unlike he did this past training camp, unlike he did in the prospect camp where, you know, certain people will tell you that he was the best player on the ice. Well, I was there. I watched the sessions. He was not. He could have done a lot better than he did, and that sort of effort continued. I don't know what it was, but it continued in training camp, and he was quickly, he was swiftly sent back to junior, where he's playing very well right now. So, but he's a guy that they're going to count on. Akeem Alou, who, by the way, this is an odd stat. For people that have been following Akeem Alou's career like myself, this is an odd thing. Akeem Alou on Saturday night, he's played 33 AHL games in his pro career so far, got in his first fight at Peoria on Saturday night against Ryan Reeves, of big guy on the enforcer type guy on Peoria. Some proper black on black crime. But
happy Martin Luther King Day.
Happy Martin Luther King Day, everybody. But you know that I found that astounding. I mean, I knew it all along. It's been something that I sort of, you know, I look at. I'm like, God, when is this guy going to actually drop the gloves and fight? And finally did it on Saturday night. And then, as a result, he re-aggravated the sprained wrist that had kept him out of the lineup for a few weeks. And he missed Sunday's game, last night's game, in Grand Rapids. But, I mean, I don't really know what the status is, but from what I hear, it's not something that's going to keep him out of the lineup very long. That's just something interesting that's going on. In Rockford, there's a good chance that this Saturday night I will be in Rockford watching the Rockford IceHog take on Michael Nylander and the Grand Rapids Griffins. Kurt Frazier coaches that bunch. I think it's about time that I get out to Rockford and scout the future Hawks.
I've yet to see a game in Rockford.
It's not a bad place to see a game, actually. It's the rink is the sight lines are pretty decent, you know, and you know, the concourses are, you know, I mean, there's not much to it. They have a nice little area set up in where they've got you know, places where the kiddies can congregate and some you know, down on their luck souvenir vendors. But
nice.
Yeah, that's,
why don't you call them you know, carnies?
I remember the first time. I remember the first time that I went to Rockford to a game. It was actually the home opener of their first season in the AHL. Played San Antonio. That was the year that they were doing all the improvements, and Rockford was on the road for like the first month of the season. It was probably November 1st or something. It was their first home game, and I went, and I probably got there, I don't know, 20 minutes before puck drop or something. I saw the very end of warm-ups, and I was walking around the concourse just minding my own business, and I decided that I was going to go look for a program or something. And I walk up to the merchandise stand. I mean, where do you think you're going to find a program? Maybe at the merchandise stand?
Yeah, I would assume that's where I would go.
Okay, well, I walk up to the guy at the merchandise stand, and I say, hey, buddy, you know, hey, how's it going? And I said, do you have you sell programs here? And he looked at me like I was the dumbest guy in Rockford, which is saying a lot. And he just goes, no, man. Like, I go, okay, then. And I go, do you know where I can get a program? And he goes, they sell them when you walk in. Real condescending, too. He was like an 18-year-old kid. They sell them when you walk in. And I'm like, well, and I turned to him and I wanted to, you know, plainly state that when I walked in, there was nobody selling programs. There were girls handing out those thunder sticks and magnet schedules. No programs.
That was my first
impression of Rockford, but it got better. And I may be out there on Saturday night to watch to watch Rockford and Grand Rapids, or I'll get really drunk with the Second City Hockey guys at the Whirl Away. I should probably go to Rockford. Especially since the forklift is going to be there, apparently. Speaking of the forklift, I got here in my notes here somewhere. I got a big announcement. We said we were going to make announcements about the show. I want everyone to mark. You know, not only is it, you know, we're working, we're efforting Theo Fleury for a couple of weeks from now. the Hockey Night, you know, you remember those guys? They were on the show.
They were.
Yeah. Well, the Hockey Night guys are they're going to be making their grand return, and that's what it says here. Tuesday night, April 20th, the Third Man in Radio will once again be teaming up with CT and The Forklift from HockeyNight.com for a special simulpuckcast, as the boys will be joining us live from Lashitz Inn for the annual invitation-only Holocaust celebration.
Holy shit.
Isn't that something?
That is groundbreaking news right there.
Yes. See, you go from Martin Luther King Day to Hitler.
As a proud German, I don't know how I feel about this.
It's going to be a special night. I can't believe this is going to happen on this show, but it says right here, CT and the Forklift promised to dismember a Jew live on the air that night from Lashitz.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I don't know what I do either. Oh.
You ever go to Lashitz Inn on April 20th?
Well, are they on, you know, sabbatical? Have they not been doing their hockey night?
I believe they're on the air as we speak.
Oh. We should call in.
Maybe. Yeah, but those guys, April 20th, Hockey Night, CT and the Forklift back on the show. It's gonna be something else.
Unbeknownst to me, there is a Third Man In Facebook, you know, thing. So I joined that, and I got a personalized message from Chris Block, which said about
wow.
The time.
was it like one of those facsimile autograph things?
No, it's the same thing. It's about fucking time.
Oh.
So, I just replied to him, and I said I assume that I didn't join because I assumed the Third Man In Facebook page would just crash my browser.
Yeah. Well, yeah, everybody's on Facebook.
Great.
Except for Chris Block, who's actually, his Facebook is actually run by Blogwin.
Not anymore.
That's awesome.
So be on the lookout for that. We had a lot of stuff we didn't cover here.
I know.
I'm just now looking. Anything while you look at that list, anything that you want to cover before I hit some stuff?
Well, no. I was going to do a scoreboard update for you, but screw that. I'd rather hear what Finland has to say.
Let's see here. There's nothing really interesting going on. I'm looking at the scoreboard right now. Yeah.
The Islanders keep on winning.
Oh. Oh, we never talked about Chris Chelios getting a DUI.
That's a whole show in itself, though.
Chelios living with his parents. You know that?
Well, you know, you get a DUI, you live with your parents, you know. You rough times. You're going to be selling programs at Allstate pretty soon.
I doubt that. Oh, yeah. Remember last week on the show we did our predictions?
Yeah.
Well, guess who were the only one who didn't get it right?
I believe that was you.
Super, we were talking about last week. We did the show on Wednesday because I had hockey on Wednesday, and then the next night was the Blackhawks-Blue Jackets game. Now we got to figure it out now. But I have it written down here. Superstar, you predicted a 5-3 victory. You weren't entirely correct. The Wad, he picked a 4-2 victory. he was wrong too, but he was more right than me, who picked a 5-3 Blackhawk loss. Of course, the Blackhawks won 3-0. So yet another prediction of mine on this show, and screw it. Bruce Garriock in the Ottawa Sun on Sunday talked about the Blackhawks from what he's hearing as an NHL insider, that the Blackhawks are uncomfortable with their goaltending situation. Now, let me ask you something. What does that mean?
I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to tell you. That means that the Blackhawks don't have ultimate confidence in Cristobal Huey or Antti Niemi. Because Bruce Garriock suggests that the Blackhawks are burning up the phone lines. He didn't use those words specifically, but he suggests the Blackhawks are, you know, thinking about going out once the trade discussions start to get heated up here and player movement starts to wiggle a little bit, and approaching the New York Islanders about Dwayne Roloson or Montreal about Yaroslav Halak, which, I mean, depending on, I mean, if Huey stays, would be reuniting Cristobal Huey and Yaroslav Halak. But, you know, there you go, Antti Niemi fans. Not only are the Blackhawks not necessarily confident in Cristobal Huey, but they're shitting on your Antti Niemi love. But again, I don't... For the record, what?
I guess I could see both sides of that argument, you know, whether you have full confidence. I mean, coming into the year, I was one who had no confidence in the goaltending at all. But through 49 games, they've only given up 110 goals, which is third best in the entire NHL. Yes, a lot of that has to do with the defense and what have you. But the bottom line is you got to stop the pucks that are shot on net, and they've done that for the most part all year.
Right, and every, you know, people love to throw around the Yaroslav Halak rumors, but if you've watched Montreal play lately, I mean, Yaroslav Halak's the number one goaltender there, and it won't be before too long where it's Carey Price that Montreal's shopping. I mean, they've been adamant about him for a long time now, but a lot of pressure to be competitive and have hope, at the very least, in Montreal. And Carey Price isn't instilling any hope in Habs fans lately. So, I mean, don't be too certain that Halak is going to be the guy to be moved. And if you have to choose between Carey Price and Cristobal Huey, you choose Huey every time. But again, I mean, if the Blackhawks, let's just say that they do that. It's highly unlikely that in that deal, you know, in that deal anyway, that Huey goes the other way. So acquiring another goaltender would send Antti Niemi back to Rockford. Because I highly doubt that Huey's going anywhere.
Well, not only that, but it also puts your $6 million back on the bench.
Puts it back on the bench. And how are you supposed to market? You know, this is the people that want to trade Huey or think that the Blackhawks can move him. I mean, it's like you are the best team in hockey. You have a goaltender with the third best goals against, and you're going to shop your number one goaltender. Now, I can defend Huey all I want, but if you do that, other teams are going to look at that and be like, wait a minute. You're in a position where you're the best team in hockey, and you are the front runners that, you know, in the race to the cup at this point, and you want to rid yourself of your number one goaltender. I have second thoughts about your number one goaltender now. So you're devaluing that asset. So, I mean, how are you supposed to move them?
It doesn't make sense to me at all.
Yeah, because it doesn't make sense. There's no sense in that logic. I mean, it very well may happen that you know, and again, this is, you know, Quenneville, I don't understand why Quenneville is still protecting Huey from, I mean, the decisions that he's made and the games that he's chosen to play Niemi over Huey, again, it fuels the idiocy that is, oh, Antti Niemi is the best, he's the best goaltender, he should be playing all the games. And it's not doing Huey any good, because he's not, you know, I mean, at a certain point, when you're a player, any kind of player, if the coach isn't playing you in important situations, it goes to your head. And all of a sudden you start to think, well, wait a minute, am I not good enough to play in that situation? The coach doesn't trust me against the Detroit Red Wings. The coach doesn't trust me against the Boston Bruins. You know, I mean, at a certain point, that's going to go to Huey's head. And I don't understand it. Huey's a good enough goalie that he can play against all those teams, and he's got to beat them eventually. Because again, the Blackhawks haven't shown up to this point that they're going to run with Niemi. You know, what they're doing right now is essentially what they had in place last year. They're experimenting with splitting time. And, you know, perhaps that they'll give, you know, I mean, yeah, I guess it's possible that Niemi could play lights out and be like Jimmy Howard in Detroit and just take the position for himself. But again, I mean, Huey hasn't, you know, I mean, Chris Osgood has been awful all year long, and Huey hasn't been awful. Again, he hasn't lost the job. He hasn't done anything to lose the job.
Oh. Well, exactly, and I mean, as well as Niemi's played, you talk about him just playing lights out and taking that job. This is the same guy who couldn't take the job from Crawford down in Rockford. I mean, he's not. People are talking about playing up to your competition. He's not that good where he's going to play up to the competition now when he couldn't do it before.
Oh, fuck. All right. I'm going to find it here. Let's, we gotta touch on. I have killed more guys in fantasy hockey. We should bring that up. We talked about on the show a lot that the most famous one, I guess, is when on this show I mentioned a while back, it was actually the last time the Blackhawks played in Calgary. We did a pregame show, and the night before, I went on the waiver wire and picked up Rene Bourque. In one of our leagues, no one had Rene Bourque at the time. Actually, somebody dropped him, and I picked him up right away. And the only reason why I did is because my whole season, and you know, anybody that I pick up immediately, you know, runs into doom, and they're on IR, and this has been going on all year long. My guys
don't. Essentially, you hate Rene Bourque.
I don't hate Rene Bourque. I don't hate Rene Bourque. I just don't want to see him succeed. He's had enough success, and that's it. I'm tired of it. I don't want to see Rene Bourque raising his arms anymore. It's been enough.
Where's Adam Birch when you need him?
Yeah. But, all right, I'm trying to find something here. Superstar, can you entertain the people for a minute?
Probably not. I can do a quick scoreboard update for you, though.
Yeah, please do.
Earlier today, Florida over Atlanta 1-0. Buffalo crushes Phoenix 7-2. The Blue Jackets beat the Blues 4-2. Lightning over Carolina 3-2. The Islanders shut out the Devils 4-0. Ottawa beat the Bruins 5-1. Currently going on, we got San Jose 2-0 over Calgary in the first. Colorado now up 3-0 about halfway through the second. And Dallas 4-2 over Minnesota in the third. Just about to wrap up, according to NHL.com, Toronto beating Nashville 4-3.
Huh. Okay.
You're an ass.
Nah, I can't find what I'm looking for, and I don't understand. The computer is not cooperating. Oh. This isn't good. You saw what happened the last time a computer went against me.
No, it did not end well for the computer.
All right, we're gonna have to vacate that idea. Epic fail. All right.
Well, it's not the first time on this show.
Yeah, I'm not gonna go all nutty and delete it. I'm gonna go burn some eggs and fall asleep. All right.
Status post game show.
Okay. I guess we're gonna be on the air next Monday or Wednesday again.
Either one of those days works for me, Block.
All right, we'll shoot for Monday. So again, in case things go terribly awry, we could take two on the Wednesday.
That's fine. Even if, you know what, Wednesday and Monday, well, you should say Monday and Wednesday work.
Oh, you want to do both?
If you wanted to do both, we could definitely do both.
Let me think about that.
How about we plan on Monday and then we plan on Wednesday when we need to.
One thing's for sure, I'm definitely going to sleep before next week's shows.
Well, that'd be a first. You generally don't do a whole lot of that.
No, I'll do it next week. All right. I don't know. We didn't talk about a lot of this stuff, but oh well.
Well, it was an enlarged list.
Yeah, it was very ambitious.
It was. And the fact that you put that list together at 4 in the morning was, you can always tell by the length of the list, roughly what time you put it together.
I do. I don't know what it is, but I can only write at night.
If there's like, you know, a 5-line outline of the show we're going to do, I know you put that together like at 9:30 at night. When it's a page and a half, I knew it was 5 in the morning.
Blackhawks play at Ottawa tomorrow, and then after that game, they'll jet out to Calgary. Calgary?
Yeah. Calgary.
Calgary.
Three, we'll Edmonton.
The Flames on Thursday night. So should be a good.
Before we leave, what do you think? Pat Foley's mentioned this a bunch. The wonderful scheduling by the NHL, having the Hawks go out west and come all the way back and face Carolina.
Yeah, that one is ridiculous. But you know, it's more ridiculous that they only have. I mean, they only have one day of travel. Is that they're going to go across three time zones? And I mean, they'll leave San Jose that night, so they'll land very early, and they'll be all right. But I don't know. They're on a charter flight. You know, don't complain.
What are you looking at for a road trip here? 8-game trip. They're 2-0. What's a successful trip?
I would say 5 wins. I expect them to get 5 wins. They should win. They should win in Carolina, even though that's the last game of the trip. I expect them to win in Carolina. I expect a good game tomorrow, but they should beat Ottawa. Ottawa's playing real well. Alfredson had a hat trick today, but you know, he's got 6 points in 2 games. I mean, history has shown they're going to run over Calgary on Thursday. They should have no problem with Edmonton next Tuesday. The tough games in this are at Vancouver on Saturday night and at San Jose on next Thursday. I say 5 wins, and they could possibly even have more. I mean, they're the best team in hockey. You know, you should have five wins in eight games. I don't care where they're played.
I was thinking a definite five wins, six maybe, and you know, anything under that's going to be a disappointment.
Agreed. All right, the live streamers are going to leave us at this moment, and we're going to leave at this moment. Superstar, thank you for joining me.
More than happy to.
I don't know where the Wad was tonight. I'm sure he was doing something important.
And, well, you know, he is a father now, so.
That's no excuse.
I agree.
I'm kidding.
I'm not.
Yeah, well. Oh.
Yeah, that's all I got, man.
I think we're off the air anyway. If we're not, we're going to leave now.
If not, say goodbye to the people.
All right, good night, everybody. We'll see you on Monday, January 25th, not Martin Luther King Day. And I promise to sleep before the show. Thank you again, Superstar, and I will see you sometime.
Yep, see you later.
All right, good night.